able to understand and grasp for ourselves the application of what it means to love you truly, and that we would be in that fellowship and relationship with you, that we are experiencing your love to us and we're reciprocating it. We're giving it back to you, and all the others that are around us experience a benefit and blessing from that love that's being exchanged between us. So bless our time in your word, I pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 1 John chapter 3, verse 17 says, "But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him?" And then from our passage that was just read for our text today, 1 John 4:20, "If someone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen?" God is love, so it shouldn't be a surprising thing to us at all that the things of this life would hinge around the very character and attribute of God, and I believe is the reason for his creation of man, and particularly in making man in his image, so that there is this love relationship that could be expressed by God, received by us, and then turned around and given back to God himself. Our memory verse today, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God," goes on to say, "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." Loving God is our challenge. I think we can get a handle on loving others. It's part of the family relationship. It's part of a sense of a duty. It's part of a sense of privilege that we have, and we experience it with one another. But God says that we are to love him. And so first of all, loving God must involve a person's entire being. And it's God who tells us this. In the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 6:5, we read, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might." And then the New Testament, it's repeated a couple of times. Mark 12:30 says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment." God created us for a loving relationship and fellowship with him, and both the relationship and the fellowship are initiated and firmly rooted in the love of God for us. So then love, with its source as the infinite God, the love of God reaches out to and connects with every aspect of our being. It does connect to us physically. We are going to be saved physically. It connects with us spiritually. We're saved spiritually. And then all those benefits and blessings that come to our mind and will and emotions and our spirit, all of those things are tied into and affected by and benefit from the love of God. And it's all of those areas of our life that God is asking us to love him in return with those things. It is with every part of our being, then, that he commands us and gives us the privilege of loving him. Now, we benefit in every category of our life when we are aware of and remember and then are captivated by the love of God. It is life-changing now, and this is getting to the main point that I would like to rehearse in this message this morning. It is absolutely life-changing to realize that God expects us to show our love for him through our love for others. genuine love. Now, let's pretend for a moment that I'm done with the message and that the service is over and we're dismissed and we're standing up from our chairs and we're about to go into our visiting with each other. And if this truth really grips us, look with me through your mind's eye at everyone in the room with you there. Now you can turn around and just look each way so that you can get the lay of the land there. But if you get the point of this message and your desire is to love God today and moment by moment, you see opportunities all around you to express the love of God in how you interact and respond to the people that he brings into your life. And so I think it's an exciting prospect to know that at any given point in time, you have an avenue to express your love to God by showing God's love to those that are around you. It's going to color the conversation. It's going to change your attitude and your perspective. Now, don't look around you, but there's probably people in the room there today that you will naturally gravitate toward that are your closest, you're most familiar with them. And so it's easy to go to them and strike up a conversation. But the love of God or loving God would direct us to the person that is by themselves or the new person, the visitor that has come in. Or as we read in the New Testament, in a place that was a rebuke to the church, the Apostle James was describing that there were some that gave special preferential treatment to the wealthy ones that came into their assembly, and they neglected those that were less well-clothed or less positioned in society, if you will. And if we ever do that type of thing and show preferential treatment, we have departed from loving God. God so loved the world and everyone in the world. And he loved us while we were yet sinners and died for us. And so let's pull out of the end of the service here and let's get back into our scripture. Loving God means loving neighbors as ourselves, and more importantly, as God loves them. The question is asked, who is our neighbor? And just for sake of simplicity, it's everyone. We have the opportunity to manifest the love of God too. And they can be in our immediate proximity where we're seeing them and hearing them, or it could be somebody that is totally distant from us, but we have nevertheless the means to express the love of God to them. It might be some financial assistance. It might be prayer support. It might be correspondence. It could be any number of ways that the love of God, our love for God, could be demonstrated by our love for others. Luke 10:27. And he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Romans 13:10, love works no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Galatians 5:14, all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. We have a responsibility to love the lost of this world. Mark 16:15, and he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Acts 20:26-27, Paul, after he had been doing this for years, testified, saying, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. And in doing so, the Apostle Paul was showing his love for Christ and loving others in that expression. We have a responsibility to especially love other believers. Again, going back to the Apostle John in our epistle of 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 to 18. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso has this world's good and sees his brother have need and shuts up his bowels of compassion from him, that's this love, how dwells the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. From the Apostle Paul, Galatians 6:10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. We have the responsibility to love the lost. We have a special responsibility to love other believers. And if you tighten that even closer, we have a responsibility to love our spouses and our family. Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Titus 2:4 says that they admonish the young women to love their husbands and to love their children. And we know that fathers are to love their children as well, not just the moms. Proverbs 3:12, for whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father, the son, in whom he delights. We could spend a lot of time, I think, because in making application of our love for God by our love for our family, because obviously we're with our family members more than we're with other people. And this is probably where it would have the most dramatic impact in our personal life in a practical way. If we so love the Lord that we saw the opportunities of conversation going throughout the day of being a channel of God's love to our spouse and to our children, children to their parents, all the way around the family. Well, next, it is a witness. It's a witness in a couple of different ways if we love God. It is a proof and witness to the world that we really are Christians. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35 say, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. It's going to be probably the most vivid illustration of a living Savior to this world when they see Christians loving each other with God's love. That's what the world needs to see. And it's Jesus who said, the world will see it when you truly love me by loving others. It's also a proof and witness to ourselves that we really are Christians. And I would put a star by that, because I think we're continually fed a series of lies from the initiator of lies, from Satan himself, with respect to denying divine truth. And it's when we deny any absolute truth from God that we get in trouble. And this area of doubt with respect to God's love, well, I don't feel today like God loves me very much, it will nip that one in the bud. In fact, it completely eliminate that thought, because it is a lie. God loves us unconditionally. He loved us while we were yet sinners, and Christ died for us before we even had a hint of loving him and being appreciative for that sacrifice. 1 John 4, and back to our text from today. If a man say, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he that loves not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? Now, the application to the knowledge that we really are loving God is that we can see and we can sense when God is empowering us by his grace and his love is flowing through us to somebody else. I think it's one of the most tangible evidences to ourselves that we really know God and are known of God when we allow ourselves to be a channel of his love. And it's God who says, when you allow yourself to be a channel of his love to others, you really are showing your love for God in doing that. Number three, loving God means keeping and obeying his commandments. Now, I'm just going to touch on this one because our fifth point in this bigger series is on keeping all of God's commandments. But it's here, too, very strongly in this aspect of loving God. And so I will touch on it here. Keeping God's commandments is more than just obeying his commandments. And I have on your study notes here three Hebrew words and a Greek word to show you how the concept of keeping and obeying appears in the various verses that talk about either keeping God's law or obeying God's law. There are some distinctions. In the Old Testament, you will see both the idea of listening to, visualizing by seeing it, and then by actively doing it. Deuteronomy 11:1 says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God and keep his charge and his statutes and his judgments and his commandments always." Later in that same chapter, verse 27, "A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day." Now, these two words for keep and obey are different words here. The first verse that I read is to the idea of being observant or seeing it, watching it, keeping it before your mind's eye, if you will. The second verse is the Hebrew word shama, which means actually to hear and sometimes to physically obey. Now, the next verse puts both of them, the concept, into one verse, and also the emphasizes the active part of keeping his commandments. Deuteronomy 27:10, "Thou shalt therefore obey," and that means listening, "the voice of the Lord thy God, and do," asa is the Hebrew word, "his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day." And so the healthy application of keeping God's commandments and doing them is carried throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. From the New Testament, we have the Greek word tereo. John chapter 14, verse 15 says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Now, the Greek word for tereo means to maintain or preserve, to spiritually guard, to keep watch over, to keep intact. It's like a guard that is looking over a group of prisoners, keeping an eye on and not losing your focus upon it. And that's the sense, I believe, of when God commands us to love him, and we're to keep this commandment to love him, is that we don't lose focus, keep our eyes fixed upon Christ, looking onto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And by keeping him as our focus, it's a demonstration and a connection to that we're making in loving him, because this is how he defines loving him, is keeping his commandments, keeping them before our mind's eye. Number four, loving God means God will test or prove our love for him. You know, anything that's probably worthwhile in life is going to have to stand the test. It means that it's going to come into attack. It means that it is going to not be the easiest thing to do. And so just from a practical standpoint, those things that are worthwhile take effort. They take being tried and proven and tested as to the how genuine it is and how much and to the extent that we're willing to go through to accomplish whatever that goal or mission is. And so in loving God, it is God himself that will put us to the test and prove our love for him. I think we see that with respect to Abraham in the offering of Isaac. It was a proof. It was a testing time for Abraham to demonstrate his commitment to and his love for God even more than his commitment to and his love for his son. And of course, God is the one that orchestrated that, and it wasn't his intent that Abraham actually sacrificed Isaac, but he was being put to the test on this. And you're going to find that because God requires us to love him more than anything else in our lives, more than ourselves, more than our spouses, more than our children, more than our jobs, more than anything, to prove and to test the validity of loving the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, just mark it down. You're going to be tested. And sometimes those tests come in little ways. Sometimes they come in very, very big and significant ways. God help us to pass the test so that we hold the things of this world lightly with respect to their grip on us because of God's grip on us. And so you might think, well, I'm supposed to love my wife. I'm supposed to love my husband. I'm supposed to love my children. It's God that tells us to do that. But it's also God that says, with respect and comparison to him, there's no comparison. Now, the good thing about this is the more that we love God, the more we will actually love our spouses and love our children. And it will be demonstrated because our love in an earthly standpoint is imperfect and it's limited. But when the love of God is unleashed in our lives, we're focused on him. Now we become a channel of his love and his enablement to our spouses, to our children, to the lost and dying world that is around us. And you will experience the benefit and the blessing of more love being shared and exchanged in your relationships when you put God first and love him foremost. I like the way Jesus brought this matter to a practical application with the Apostle Peter. It's after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, and Jesus has made appearances, and he is on the shore of the Sea of Galilee now with his disciples in John chapter 21, beginning in verse 15. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, that is, Peter said to Jesus, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to Peter a second time, he said to him, "Feed my lambs." And then Jesus said to Peter a second time again, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." Jesus said to him a third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Now, without going on to exegete this whole passage. Many of you are familiar that there's two different Greek words that are used for love in this passage, agape and phileo. And Jesus, in his first two questions, asks Peter if he agape loves him in that sense of complete, total giving and self-sacrifice, that type of love. All three times, Peter responds to Jesus by saying, I phileo you, I have this warm affection for you, this brotherly love for you. And then Jesus, in his third question to Peter, turns it around and says, Peter, do you really phileo me? And he said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I phileo love you. But Jesus' response was the same as in the first two cases. Feed my sheep. Now, folks, do you see the application here? God himself in the flesh, Jesus Christ, resurrected Lord and Savior, is asking a believer in him, do you love me? Do you love me with genuine God love? That's the agape love. Do you love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? And Peter, I don't know that he recoiled from it, but he steps back from that lofty type of love and says, Lord, you know that I have great fondness for you and human affection for you and brotherly affection for you. And Jesus said, then prove it. Feed my sheep. And then that's repeated the second time. And then finally, the third time, Jesus says, okay, Peter, do you really love me with your human affection and in a brotherly way? And Peter's response was the same. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. Folks, how are we going to answer the question that Jesus would ask us today? Do you love me? And you say, well, what would you say? Would you say, yes, I love you, in a warm and fuzzy sense, in the way that we conceptualize God in a box, you know, that we have? Or would you say, I love you, Lord, with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, with every part of the fabric of my life, I love you. Jesus is going to say back to each of us that say that we love him, do something of sharing my love with others if you really do love me. So what is the proof in our lives that we love God, if it is measured by our love for others? So I would ask you, how are you doing on loving your neighbor, those that you have the opportunity to share the love of God with? How are you doing on your love for other believers? And when the service is over today, I don't think probably it's very practical or time-wise, but yeah, at least in concept, could you go around and greet every person there in the assembly today in the name of the Lord and with the love of God flowing from your heart to them, greeting them with love, a loving kindness, a thoughtfulness? Could you, in your conversations, encourage them in the Lord? Could you ask how they're doing, and more than just that cursory thing, oh, I'm fine, drill down just a step lower than that and find out if they really are fine, and if the love of God needs to be applied in some practical way in each one's life or any the person that you're talking to? How would you respond? How will you respond when somebody comes up to you